Hello and welcome back to Hard Facts, originally live from your number one talk station, 92.3 Nigeria Info and here in Port Harcourt. I'm Dayo. It's 8 minutes gone past five. Discussions are on. And thanks for staying tuned once again. We really do appreciate it. Remember that story that got us all sad? I know you're probably wondering which one. I mean, does any day go by that isn't the story that gets us all sad? Well, specifically, the one about the female lawyer that was shot by a police officer in Lagos. You're probably wondering which one exactly. I mean, there have been many stories of civilians, Nigerians being shot by police officers. Okay, I'm referring to the one that happened in the Ajah area of Lagos late last year. Remember that one now? Sadly, you know, the pregnant woman in a car, husband, sister, there were kids there. I think 3, 4, or 5 children. Okay, you remember now. Thank you. Yeah, that one. Most unfortunate situation or development it is. And it's raised many questions, really. Once again, questions about professionalism in the Nigeria police force, about police brutality, about, you know, extrajudicial killings of Nigerians by the police. It's raised lots of questions, including questions regarding the usage or deployment of firearms by security personnel as well. Well, as you may know, or may not know, that the trial has commenced already, and we've got a report on that. So some updates on that situation forms the basis of the conversation for this hour. Now, here's the story from the Punch newspaper, captioned, DPO wanders hours before bandit shot lawyer inspector. A bit of the story now. A police inspector, Masu Amen, who was a colleague of ASP Drampi Vandi, the police officer who allegedly killed a lawyer, Mobolande Rahim, on Monday, yesterday, to the Lagos State High Court that the Ajah Divisional Police Officer warned them against shooting any civilian. Now, Amin was led in evidence in chief by the Attorney General and Commissioner of Justice, Moyeshore Onigbajo SAN, and told Justice Ibirunke Harrison on December 25, 2022, when the incident happened, he and his colleagues resumed duty at 6 a.m. in the office at Ajah. The witness said, quote, "The DPO told us that on no account should anyone use firearms except someone was in danger or had lives were being threatened," end of quote. He said the three of them were posted to Ajah Underbridge and Vandi was the leader of the team. The witness, who noted that he enlisted in the Nigeria Police Force in 2001, said while they were conducting stop and search, another colleague, Dimini, was in front. While he was at the middle, Vandi was at the back. Now, according to him, when a car got to where he stood, Amin said when Dimini saw a car approaching, remember Dimini is in front, when he saw a car approaching, he flagged it down, the car did not stop. According to him, when the car got to where he stood, remember he was in the middle, he also flagged it down, but the driver did not stop. Quote, "The next thing I heard was a gunshot and I looked back to see what was happening. I saw that the windscreen was falling down. The next thing I saw, again, was a dark woman who jumped down from the vehicle and I heard her saying, 'Oga, you have killed my sister.' The woman held him," that's Vandi, "and before I and Dimini could get to them, they had entered the car, locked it and left." Amin said after the shooting, he and Dimini returned to the station. Now, Vandi entered the same vehicle and they drove him away. We did not know where they went to. Now, while we were at the station, we saw that the DPO brought ASP Vandi to the station with a police patrol vehicle. Now, Vandi has been arraigned on a one-count charge of murder preferred against him by the Lagos State Government. He's accused of killing Rahim at the Ajah Underbridge Lake Expressway, Lagos State. I believe that the defendant has pleaded not guilty to the charge. But like I mentioned a while ago, this incident, like several others, even before it, have raised a lot of questions. One of these questions has to do with the deployment or the handling of firearms by security operators. We've had too many cases of, mistaken discharge, or what's the expression again? Something discharge, you know, or accidental discharge, I think is the right expression. Or all kinds of sins, really. You know, extrajudicial killings, shootings by police officers at civilians, sometimes killing them, sometimes maiming them, all kinds of things, really. And so I'm asking you, amongst other questions, what do you suppose is the problem with handling of firearms by Nigerian security operatives? Join the conversation. We're live on facebook.com/NigerianForPH, live on Twitter at NigerianForPH. The line to call will be opened and the number given out shortly. But also, joining me for this conversation via phone is I've caught a guest as well who's joined me via phone for this. My guest for this conversation is Ayuba Tanimu. He's a security consultant. Also, he's a former DSS staff and a former bodyguard to the president of Nigeria. Ayuba Tanimu, good evening to you and welcome to Hard Facts.
Good evening. Thank you for having me. And good evening, our listeners.
Great, let's get to it. And listeners, by the way, join the conversation once again via Facebook and Twitter at NigeriaInfoPH. Now, are you a Tanimu? I've got some questions for you. Let's start on this note. Now, I imagine that before anybody becomes a security operative in any of the various security agencies we have in Nigeria, be it the Nigeria Police Force or any of our military outfits or paramilitary outfits or even the intelligence agencies for that matter, a certain level of training is a must, is required. You must be trained before you can join the police, for example. And this training, I imagine, also includes trainings on the usage of firearms. So my question is this. What is the type and level of training invested in security operatives before they are given firearms?
You're right. As you said, there are level of training we undergo and mandatory by every security personnel before they are allowed to handle any type of arms. Depending on the assignment you are scheduled to perform, there are different levels of assignment. But one thing that is common is everybody is required to know the rules of engagement, what we call the rules of engagement, especially when you're dealing with civilians. So there are actually constitutional provisions that every security personnel who handles arms needs to be acquainted with to guide him in the course of carrying out the assignment. Sometimes when such guidance, as I will explain later, if they are not taken into consideration, this is where we keep having this extrajudicial killing, different guys on the accidental discharge or trigger happy people, a category of people that we call trigger happy people because they carry arms. And sometimes our approach as civilians against these very men who carry arms sometimes is not too good. Our civilians do have some level of blame, but that doesn't mean any person who carries arms is just allowed to do what he or she wants. As we go on in this very program, I will explain what the constitutional provisions are that are expected to guide security personnel in the handling of arms.
Well, definitely. We will definitely get to that at some point in the conversation. But my next question to you is, now, after this training has been completed, and you said depends on there are different levels of training, depends on the mission or your level in, or maybe it also depends on the security outfit or agency you belong to, I imagine. But before I ask you my next question, a very quick one, I'm actually curious about this. Do different security agents or agencies receive different kinds of trainings on firearms handling? This is just a personal thing now, if you don't mind. For example, the training that the police receive for handling firearms, is it the same as the DSS or is it the same as the army, for example, or are they different?
Of course, you can't say they are the same because our assignments are different. You can't compare the level of training the army receives to that which the police receives. Theirs is more intense and more heavier than what the police does. Because the army man is trained to fight war, which is a bigger scenario than what a policeman is expected to confront, which is mostly having to do with civilians. So the level of training actually are not the same across the security agents. It can't be the same.
Also, and this is just another personal question, pardon me, something I saw in a movie or some movies. Is it true that a police officer can deploy his weapon even when he doesn't intend to use it, but those in the intelligence community, like the Secret Service and co, once they deploy their firearms, it means they intend to use it? If you can't answer that question, it's fine, but is that true?
Well, I can't say I know exactly about that. Like, for example, I'm from the intelligence community background.
Yeah.
You are right. Whenever you deploy your weapon, it should only be when you intend to use it. And mostly you don't see us carry the weapon openly like that in the first place. But the policeman has his own weapon hanging on his shoulder, on his neck, and it can be seen from afar or near. So how he handles it, and, I believe that as I say, there are levels, there are rules guiding, particularly for the police personnel, that are actually ordinances, orders that they need to follow before they engage in the use of their weapons.
Okay, so away from my observations from movies now, let's get back to the second question I was going to ask you earlier on. Now, after this training this agent has undergone this training, this security personnel, I imagine that there might be or there could be a procedure for issuing a firearm to that operative. Is there a special procedure for that? Maybe, for example, police officers, do they return the guns? Do they take them away? Are they issued to them at particular times? Is there a procedure for that?
To the best of my knowledge, I know for every organization there must be a procedure of signing an arm from the armory where it is registered and it is expected that you return them after the assignment. Thereby, it is expected that every day you sign your weapon only when you are going out for an assignment that demands you having to use your weapon. You sign them from the armory, you go where the task is done, you come back and return them to the armory.
So are you saying then that security operatives are not allowed to take their official weapons home with them when they are, or have it with them when they are off duty?
It all depends on the type of assignment you are doing. For example, those who are on escorts most time have to stay with their weapon 24/7. You get the point, and they can be at home, they still have their own weapons. It all depends on the level and the type of assignment you are doing. Some could require daily timing and daily return. Some could require that weapon is expected to stay with you as long as you are on that very particular assignment.
All right, my next question, and I'm not sure if you'll be able to give to answer that entirely because I have a commercial break coming up shortly, but I should ask it nonetheless. Now, in what circumstances can a security operative deploy a firearm?
Before I answer that, I would like us to know the constitutional provision for right to life as enshrined in the Nigerian constitution. Maybe I will take us down that lane, then it will help us to understand better to the civilians and probably to the policemen who are listening to we have all of us.
All right, Mr. Talnimo, if you can hear me, pardon me. I was afraid that there may not be enough time before the break, so I don't want to have you caught this midway. So I would go for that break right now. When I return from the break, then you can proceed with your response to the question.
All right, that's okay.
Thank you very much. Still heartfelt to Nigeria before we go for a break. Now remember, also we've got headlines at 5:30 p.m. After that, we'll return with my guest. Conversation does continue. Do please stay with us.
You are tuned in to 92.3 Nigeria
Info. And now, Hard Facts. Hard Facts with Dio.
Hello and welcome back. 28 minutes ago before 6 o'clock, this caution to run the Beijing news up at 6. But before then, still discussing with my guest, former DSS staff, former bodyguard to the President of Nigeria, now security consultant, Ayuba Talimo. Hello, you're welcome once again.
Yes, you're welcome.
And the matter we're discussing, update on the situation with the officer, Vandy, who killed a female lawyer in Lagos while she was with the family in the vehicle December last year. And we're talking, the trial has commenced, by the way. We're discussing the use or deployment of firearms by security personnel. Still looking your thoughts, though. What do you suppose might be the problem with handling of firearms by Nigerian security operatives, the police especially? Join me via Facebook and Twitter at Nigerian for PH. Now, before we'll get to you in a moment, and the phone line will be open shortly. But before the break, the last break, I asked my guest a question, which I believe he will respond to now. And the question, once again, was, in what circumstances can a security operative deploy a firearm? Now, Mr. Tanimo, you were responding to that question earlier, and you were about to quote certain sections of the Constitution. Please go ahead.
Yes, I'm saying for us to give us a better understanding, we need to understand the constitutional provisions for rights to life has been showing in the 1999 Constitution as amended. He's saying a person shall not be regarded as having his life been deprived in contravention of this very particular section, that is, we are talking about section 33, subsection 2 of the 1999 Constitution. For the defense of any person from unlawful violence or for the defense of property. Number two, in order to effect a lawful arrest or to prevent the escape of a person lawfully detained, or for the purpose of suppressing a riot, insurrection, or mutiny. In this provision, what it is saying is that a security personnel can be allowed to use firearms in these instances. That is, any civilian that seems to contravene this very particular section, the security personnel is allowed to use his firearm. However, this provision by the Constitution is not in conformity with the international standards, as it allows the use of firearms in defense of something as common as property. It's not that good. So, in 2019, particularly in October, the Nigerian police amended an order on the use of firearms to bring the rules more into line with international law. And there has been a long-standing police force order called Order 237, which titled Rules of Guidance in the Use of Firearms by the Police, previously stipulated as follows. There are actually six guidelines that are expected to guide every policeman on the use of firearms. Number one, a police officer may use his firearms under the following circumstances. When attacked and his life is in danger and there is no other way of saving his life, he could use his firearm. When defending a person who is attacked and he believes on reasonable ground that he cannot otherwise protect that person attacked from death except by the use of his own firearm. Number three, when necessary to disperse rioters or to prevent them from committing serious offenses against life and property, he is required to use his own firearm. And number four, if he cannot by any other means arrest a person who being in lawful custody escapes and takes to flight in order to avoid re-arrest, providing the offense with which he is charged or has been convicted of is a felony or misdemeanor. And number five, if he cannot by any other means arrest a person who takes to flight in order to avoid arrest, provided the offense is such that the accused may be punished with death or imprisonment for 7 years and above. Now, if you take into consideration this provision, you find that most of the killings that happen by security personnel in this Nigeria all violate this very provision. And to tell you more, these provisions are not still in conformity with international standards. The Inspector General in 2019, London, Mohamed Adamo, made a revisit, a revise to this very provision from 5 down to 3. Now, concurrently, we have 3 provisions. So out of these very 3 provisions, I don't know whether I have time to state them all.
The point I'm
trying to make is that, considering these very provisions and the case on ground, Vandy has no reasonable reason to use a firearm in that particular situation.
I'd like to paint a portrait here, and as I read out a while ago, from the account, from the testimony of one of the officers who was there, he said there were 3 of them. One was in front, he was in the middle, Vandy was at the back, he was a team lead. A vehicle was approaching them. The officer in front flagged it, it did not stop. The officer in the middle flagged it did not stop either. And then after the vehicle passed him, he heard a gunshot. And he looked behind him, he saw broken windshield, car glass everywhere. And the woman jumped out saying, "You shot my sister," grabbed him, pushed him in the vehicle, and they drove off. So, can that be a scenario where it's okay for an officer to deploy his firearm, that you flag the vehicle, obviously possibly intending for the vehicle to stop, either for a search or to ask some questions or to look into the vehicle? If that vehicle does not stop, can that be grounds for an officer to deploy his firearm?
Well, in conformity to international standard, that is not enough. Has the vehicle that is trying to be stopped or touched, has there been enough ground that the occupants in the vehicle are criminals, or are there enough ground that they are escaping from, they are really actually trying to avoid arrest, or they are trying to escape a situation where they have committed a crime that warrants death and they are trying to escape. So these are the, when you just upon the situation, they have the provisions of the order that gives the policeman the right to use his firearm. You find that at that scenario, it is not just enough. If at all, to my mind, he will have to deploy the use of firearm, the best he could do, he should have done, was to aim at the tire of the vehicle, to demobilize the vehicle, not to shoot indiscriminately arbitrarily into the vehicle, not knowing who and who were the occupants of the vehicle. Like in this case, it happened to be an innocent woman, pregnant woman with twins. No. There are not enough reason and ground for that.
Now, after an officer has deployed his weapon and has fired it, whatever the circumstance may have been, either it fits into the scenarios or the legal scenarios in which an officer is allowed to deploy his firearm, or it falls outside those guidelines. Is there a procedure that is followed after a firearm has been deployed? And if there is, what is that procedure?
Well, every service has its own in-house procedure. I cannot tell exactly that of the police, but there are procedures. Like the outcome of this very case, for example, he was arrested, and the police commission comes in, and he was suspended, and now he's been arraigned.
No, pardon me. I'm not referring to if it is perceived that a crime has been committed or if the weapon was deployed illegally by the officer. I'm saying whatever the scenario is, even if the officer deployed his weapon in line with the guidelines and he or she has done nothing wrong, is there a procedure that is followed once a weapon is deployed, whatever the circumstance?
Yes, actually, the circumstances need to be investigated to establish a fact. But in every situation, what I know, an investigation needs to be carried out to establish a fact whether he actually did it rightly or wrongly. That the process is always carried out. I don't know whether I've answered your question.
I suppose you have. Now, the line's open. Join the conversation if you will. Call 0700-923-0923. That's 0700-923-0923. We're live on facebook.com/NigerianInfoPH. We're live on Twitter at NigerianInfoPH as well. Now, pardon me, I have to ask you this question, and I don't mean to put in a difficult position, but I've had cause to have discussions with several police officers who are still in the force at the moment, and when matters of this accidental discharge or extrajudicial killings by police officers come up, I get a very common response, and that common response is, you people did not find, referring to myself or those in the media or the civilian population in general, you people did not bother to find out what happened. And I hear things like, policemen are not mad people. They're not, you know, a police officer would not just take his gun and shoot a person. But I remember at the beginning of this conversation, you said that most times these shootings and these killings do not meet the guidelines, proper guidelines that are set. So in your experience, what is it that goes on? What is it that goes wrong? Is it that, pardon my use of the term, but I'm just repeating what those other officers have said. Is it that there is a madness that has gone on, or is it that the officer is truly not mad, but some other forces or circumstances, extenuating maybe, led to it? What do you think is responsible for this? And they happen way too often.
Well, in life, generally, it takes two to tango. You know that. Civilians sometimes have their own fault, to be honest. That man you discussed with was right. Not, policemen are not mad. Something somewhere triggered. Okay, look at this very scenario. What is the reason for those occupants in that vehicle to refuse to stop when the policemen who are lawfully carrying out their assignment flag them down? And they refuse to do so.
But that's just the account of the officer. That's the account of the officer.
Oh yes, actually that's just the account of the officer. But suffice it is true. What could be the reason why the officer would not refuse to do so? You know, I always give security lectures and enlightenment everywhere I go and I have an opportunity. One thing I keep saying is, when you are approaching the roadblock and you are flagged up, please be civil enough. Those people who are there because they have the right to be there to carry out their lawful assignment. And also, Nigerians should be respectful to those people who are wearing uniform. My father happened to retire from ASP in the Nigerian police and a unit commander at a point. He told me that, look, if you are approaching a man who is holding a gun, be as civil as you can, because at that very moment, you don't know the mental state of the person who is holding that gun. You see somebody holding a gun and you are still opening your chest and trying to claim one right or the other. Both parties have, we need to be more civil in our approach of situations like this. Not all policemen are mad. I can vouch for that.
So are you saying that, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but when you say not all are, is that suggesting that some might be? Because we've also had scenarios where there was no provocation from the civilian. A civilian is even doing the right thing. And then you hear something like, a lot of Nigerians have heard expressions such as, I will shoot you here and nothing will happen. I will shoot
that
you
is
here.
That is why I said not all of them are mad. That means I'm not exonerating all of them. Because some people, this thing get to their head. Just because they hold it on gun, they think everybody should just bow down and just agree and accept everything they say or do, which you and I know will not surprise the whole situation. And we have seen examples where police officers or people carrying weapons are drunk and are handling weapons. And in that very state, what do you expect? So we all need to be civil and to be disciplined. Both the civilians and the main, the security agents to be disciplined in this very area.
The line's open right now. Call 0700-93093. That's 0700-93093. We're live on facebook.com/ Nigerian for PH. Live on Twitter as well at Nigerian for PH. Faith Fagella of Facebook goes. Okay, I'll come back to Faith's comments shortly. Hello, Hard Fact. You're welcome. Please go on.
Yeah, good evening, Dio.
Go ahead.
Okay. I think from this incident that occurred, and they, just like you said recently, so many of Nigerian civilians have complained about the police. When I shoot you, nothing will happen. I think from my little observation, it is lack of discipline from the beginning of it. Because even the police, like the guest said, you don't know the mental position of the officer holding rifle. If the officer is not mentally fit, he won't come out with the rifle. So they knew what they are doing. Nobody will tell me they are mentally unfit. If they are mentally unfit, why are they coming out with the rifle? So the police commission should take a very strict measure on these issues. And whoever falls victim should be disciplined, should be punished. Because if they are punished, they won't do what they are doing. All the law enforcement agencies know that they are not above the law. They knew. But they are doing all these things to civilians because nobody has been set as an example. For me, this man should be properly brought to book and let deterrence be set to others. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hello, Hard Facts. Hi there. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, good evening.
Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Chief Wala.
Turn off your radio set. Go ahead.
Yes. Please, if I have understood what's really happening, from the narration of one of the police officers, say they were three. The first stopped, the vehicle didn't stop. Second stopped the vehicle, it never stopped. Then the third one, they had a gunshot. And the next thing was, somebody came out from the vehicle and they made a statement that you have killed somebody. And they dragged him into the vehicle. Now, at this point, that is where my own suspicion starts. I don't really know. Maybe I never understood the scene very well. Did the police officer go with them with them the same vehicle, or they drove away without the police officer?
No, they went together. The officer went with them in their vehicle. It was the sister to the lawyer who came out and dragged him that you've killed my sister, and pushed him into the vehicle, and then they drove to a hospital.
Okay, that, if I may come in at this angle, the first police officer, they were there. Second one was there. What was their action when they dragged him inside the vehicle and pulled him away?
They went back to their police station. But what is the point you're driving at very quickly?
Yeah, what I'm driving at is this, my dial. You know, this thing now, I rest my case. Thank you.
I don't get the point, actually. What's the point? Okay. I didn't get the point at all. Mr. Tanimu, did you get the point he was trying to make?
No, I was waiting for him to actually make the point, just as you are following up.
Okay. Hello, Hard Factor, welcome. Go ahead, please. Hello? Hello, Hard Factor, welcome. Please come on.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Yes, you dialed the number. Please go ahead.
Okay, you can call another person. I just want to get you.
Hello, Hard Factor, welcome. Please go on.
Sorry. Yes, good evening.
Go ahead, please.
My take on the issue is this. First of all, my name is Savior. I'm calling from LMA. My heart goes to the family of the deceased female lawyer. Then I want to actually advise members of the public that we should be both uniformed men and members of the public as much as possible try to be disciplined. Just as the man on the studio said, the they are there to perform their lawful duty. I think if the vehicle has stopped, if the driver of that vehicle has stopped when they were flagged down, highest they will delay you. Highest you will be delayed. At most, you will be taken to their office. At the end of the day, you will still go home. If they are trying to do something funny, I think the officers will take charge. And probably at the end of the day, you still go. So the incident was actually avoidable. So people should always try to respect the rules of law on the road. And some of these things are avoidable. But condemn the action of the police officer. He was not justified to make use of his firearms. Thank you.
You're welcome. Faith for Girl, it's a mindset issue, not training, because you can be trained for handling firearms, but your aim and objectives is to get whatever you want, the way you want it, and anything else you're ready to remove the obstacle by all means. Today, the common quote said by the armed force that something must kill a man will be erased from their mind. That should be the beginning of a better armed force in Nigeria. Hard Factor, welcome, Bill.
Hello, good evening.
Go ahead, please.
Benjamin calling from Port Harcourt.
Go ahead, Ben.
I want to... the question you asked the resource person there, the reply I was expecting was not the reply he gave. You asked him what happened when a policeman or security agent deploys his weapon. Now, I was expecting that you come back to the office and make a report that I deployed a weapon for this XY reason. That was what I was expecting. When he was talking about investigations and all, the investigation will come. But I think the primary thing that is supposed to be done after a weapon is deployed is to report back to the office where you signed that weapon with XY number of bullets or ammunition. And then if probably you went out with 20 ammunition and then you're coming back with 15.
Thank you. I am pressed for time. I'd like to put that to... Thank you, sir. I'd like to... Mr. Tanimu, is that the case? Is that the procedure? Do you have to report that back?
Yes, I'm not arguing with him. These are all things that lead to investigation. I was not trying to break down the procedure from A to B. Before investigation, there has to be a report. Because it is on the basis of the report that investigation will commence. You get the point.
Mm.
He was right. He's right.
All right, fantastic. I think we have to draw the curtain on this discussion right now. Many thanks for being a part of it. Keep the conversation going on our Facebook page and Twitter as well at Nigeria Info PH and those platforms. Many thanks to my guest, however. Yubert Tanimu is, amongst several other things, he's a former DSS staff, former bodyguard to the President of Nigeria, now security consultant. Yubert Tanimu, many thanks for your time as well.
Thank you for having me.